C1AP. Number 5B.
Now we take the visions in detail, but not in great detail. We just want to see the generalities of it. And we take the vision, the first vision, principle. And the symbolism there is just amazing for us. And you will very soon see that somebody who does not know really the Christian Science textbook in its science cannot make anything out of that vision. If you take any theologian or anybody, they don't know what's in here, because he is presenting all the tools of divine metaphysics as given in the Christian Science textbook. So, what do we see here? Now, perhaps I have to repeat where we are. Where are we in Revelation? We have seen the first chapter, the introduction of the word order. 7 days, seven numerals of infinity, the seven synonymous terms. Then we have seen in chapter 2 and 3 the Christ order through the seven messages. That is the standpoint of the revelator. He says, this is my standpoint. I look at the four from the standpoint of the Word and the Christ. But because he is a revelator at his period, he must show what must be afterwards. If he only can show what has been, he is not really a revelator. He is only a revelator and a prophet if he can show what must come afterwards. What must come after the Word and the Christ? Well, he shows it. He begins this first vision like this. After this, he says, after this, after the seven messages, after this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. In heaven, not in earth. In heaven. And a voice, as it were a trumpet, said, come up hither. Come up hither. We have to rise up. We have to rise in consciousness. I show thee things that must be hereafter. Can you see? He shows now what comes hereafter. But what he shows what comes hereafter is nothing that has to do with history, what historically happened hereafter. He shows what happens after the Word and the Christ. What is the form of the category of being that he shows now as coming hereafter? And what comes after the Word and the Christ? Comes Christianity. Christianity. And therefore what he shows in that vision of principle is the Christianity order. Isn't that terrific? Can you see why what we said on the first day? He is teaching categories. He's not teaching individual solutions for individual problems. Most what we have seen in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, is all showing how we deal with individual problems. And that naturally is attractive for the average seeker. It's only then when we rise above metaphysics and the religious sense and really become a scientist. The scientist is only interested in the science of it, because he knows the greater always rules the lesser. And the revelator does the same thing. He's the very first and only one, so to say, in the whole Bible that says, look here, I'm going to show you something. You will get out of the 5,000-year period. You will get into the 6,000-year period. And in the 6,000-year period, you will have to restructure your consciousness. You will have to reorient your consciousness. Namely, to look out for the categories of being. So what must come hereafter, she says, is the Christianity order. So that whole vision of, it's still a vision, that whole vision of principle shows in the Christianity order what must come hereafter. That Christianity order runs, as you know, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And you see it in here very clearly. He presents first principle, and he shows a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Can you see? He introduces first the oneness of being, that everything is built on the infinite one. One is enthroned, the enthroned one. And he was to look, that's interesting, he was to look upon like a jasper stone, a sardine stone, and like a rainbow round about the throne like an emerald. Now, a jasper stone is opaque. A sardine stone is translucent. And an emerald is transparent. He had all 3 degrees. The first degree, the second degree, and the third degree. He began to see that there is only one being, in spite that for some people that one being is opaque. For some being, it's translucent, and for a few, it may be transparent. He could see there are not 3 principles. There are not 3 realms. There is only 1 realm, though it may be to look like. He wasn't that way. That one sitting on the throne wasn't that way. He looked like for us, like 3 degrees. But he wanted to show there is only one being. No matter how you look at the universe, you can look at the universe of war and crisis and I don't know what, or you can look at the universe as a new heaven and new earth. It's always the same universe, the universe of the infinite one. So he established first the sense of principle as the one principle. Then he goes to mind. And he shows that that one principle is a principle of scientific metaphysics. Namely, round about the throne, not on the throne, round about the throne, were 24 seats. And on the seats, 24 elders. So there were 24 thrones, or questions, 24 elders, answers, that were giving answer to those questions, clothed in white raiment, and their heads crowns of gold. Okay, so we have here that one principle at the point of mind is a system of divine ideas of scientific metaphysics. It's the chapter on recapitulation, so to say, with the 24 question and answer, and we have seen that recapitulation shows the 4, from what? From which standpoint? Shows the 4 from the standpoint of the Word and the Christ and Christianity. Do you remember? You see? So can you see, only when he has finished with the Word order in the first chapter and with the Christ order in chapter 2 and 3, he said what comes afterwards, and he gives the first inkling that which comes afterwards is Christianity, and shows therefore all those questions and answers from the point of view of Christianity, of the 24, which was the first inkling that Mrs. Eddy had when she began to see Christian Science and wrote that little booklet, The Science of Man, which was recapitulation. Then he goes on and gives a sense of soul. Namely, there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Can you see again, when we come to soul, they usually show the identity of the 7 synonymous term, the 7 spirits, and the 7 numerals of infinity, the 7 lamps burning with fire. say they are the same. He must see that there is no difference between God and his creation, that they are one, in nature identical, that the God is the seven, synonymous term, that the nature of being is the seven lamps, the seven numerals of infinity, the ideas of the seven synonymous terms. So we have the one, then we have the 24, then we have the seven, and the seven spirits, and the seven ideas, and now he shows the four with six wings. At the point of spirit, he gives the following. First, he says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Always when they use the symbol of glass and crystal, which is transparent, which is reflecting infinitely, they were using that for what we call today the calculus of spirit, the infinite inter-reflection of ideas, where there is no obstruction to the infinite reflection. So they used that symbol, and he said, what is really that infinite reflection of spirit? And he defines it as the calculus of spirit. Because it says, and in the midst of the throne and round about it were four beasts. And he depicts those four beasts. What are those four beasts? Those four beasts are the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. Because he defines those four beasts exactly the same as the four Gospels are defined. Namely, that Matthew is the lion, omnipotence. That Mark was always the calf, the Christ. That Luke was always symbolized by... That Luke was always symbolized by men. Here he defines it as the face of the man. And the fourth gospel, John, was always symbolized by the eagle, science. Eagle all through the Old Testament was science. So he begins to introduce and say, look here, if you have that glass of, if you have that sea of glass, like crystal, and we have infinite reflection. But what is reflected? And he shows the point of Christianity, namely the reflection of the 4 by 6, 24. See? Because he said, what are that for? It's omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. These are the four beasts, which symbolize Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And each of the beasts has six wings. 4 times 6 are 24. Give the answer to the 24 elders. In some of the translations, it's interesting to see that they don't say that each beast had six wings. They said that they had three pairs of wings. Three pairs of wings, which is, I would say, much more exact for what we see as recapitulation. Because it said there are four beasts at 3, which is 12. But it's a pair of wings, namely, each one we have seen is from the level of Christian science and from the level of absolute Christian science. So this is a pair of wings on which really recapitulation rests. So Jesus told John 2,000 years ago that the first vision of Christianity in a scientific way will be the 24, will be that little booklet, The Signs of Man, that became afterwards recapitulation. I wonder what Mrs. Eddy must have felt when she saw that. When she was composing that little booklet, The Signs of Man, I'm quite sure she didn't think at that time of the 24 elders or of the four beasts with three pairs of wings. But later on, when she had the whole chapter on recapitulation finished with those 24 questions and answers, and at that time then was investigating even closer Apocalypse or Revelation, what she must have felt to think that 2,000 years ago Jesus told John, you know, this is the beginning of scientific Christianity. Can you feel what she must have felt? The grace of it, of being able to catch that tone without being aware of it at first, without any premeditation of it. She wasn't reading Revelation and said, there are 24, so I'm going to write something that has 24 in it. That was not the way recapitulation came into existence. It developed slowly until 1894 or 5, recapitulation was finished. Gosh, think of what happens today. That actually the vision of Jesus matures, but still only yet at the point of Christianity. So, when he had shown that whole picture of the scientific Christianity, then he goes on, comes to the point of life, and he says, and in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, there was a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals, and was asking, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals? And no one was able to open the book and to read the book. So it was closed at that point. But then only came the answer of truth. Said only truth can answer. I on earth truth. Why not life? It's only the age of the 6,000 year period, the age of truth, that can open science, open up science. Therefore, at the time of Jesus, they could not teach science, because science only came into world consciousness in the 6,000-year period. Therefore, only in the 6,000-year period, really, those seals could be opened. So, when we come here to that subtone of truth, it is said, and that's interesting, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that's a symbol for Jesus or for the Christ, has prevailed to open the book. And therefore, in the midst of the throne, that was principle, and in the midst of the four beasts, as we had before, and in the midst of the elders, see, again, the one and the four and the 24, in the midst of that scientific metaphysics, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. That's important. Not just the lamb, but the lamb as had been slain, having seven horns, the sevenfold power of demonstration, having seven eyes, he had the full concept of understanding, which are the seven spirits of God. He came and took the book. Can you say, he says, well, that textbook can only really be opened with the consciousness of the Christ truth. Which Christ truth? That Christ truth which has been slain from the foundation of the world. It's only that Christ consciousness which really has gone through that seven message to the churches, which has gone through that stage where one has begun to see there is a Christ, there is a Christ translation, but that demands, blessed is he that overcomes, which, and these messages, it's that which has overcome error. That's the lamb slain, as it were slain, or slain from the foundation of the world. Only that consciousness which has not just been engaged in studying the science, in studying Christian Science, in studying the system that John Dolly presented, that's not enough. That's not the cry, that's not the lamb slain. Only that consciousness which has imbibed, so to say, the Christ demands, that has taken up those Christ demands and have tried to overcome as much as possible all that which the seven messages to the churches have demanded, only that lamb is slain, and only that can open the book. That's something that the students must see. They think by studying day and night, and by reading day and night, they can get hold of the idea. They can't. They just can't. It's no use to fool ourselves. It's the beginning, but not the end. Not the end. What he has seen, that book can only be opened by a consciousness, by a Christ consciousness, that, so to say, have drunk of the blood of the martyrs, that has laid down the mortal sense to a great extent, that has shown that they were willing to lay down the mortal at every step of the Christ translation. Only that Christ consciousness can open the book, can see it. Up here, that's not enough. We can't. The study is necessary. It's the first step. Study the letter. But then comes the Christ demands. Just as the first chapter in the textbook is prayer, which clarifies within you what is a right attitude in order to approach God. But that is not the end of the textbook. That is supplemented by the next chapter, Atonement and Eucharist, which takes prayer and takes every subject of prayer and says, are you going to overcome the counterfeit of that prayerful attitude? And that's why that Atonement and Eucharist is so important. It's the word of the Christ. And shows, are you willing to be slain for that idea? Are you willing to be persecuted for that idea? Are you willing to be ridiculed for that idea? Are you willing to pay the price of that idea? Are you willing to bear the cross of that idea, for that idea? Are you prepared to pay any price for that idea? Are you willing to lose all your friends for that idea? Are you willing to lose all your friends? Are you willing to lose your family for that idea? Only if you say yes to all those questions, you are the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that lamb can open the Bible. No other consciousness can. Don't make any mistake. It can't. I have watched that for 50 years. I'm not talking just out of the blue. I have now 50 years experience in this science. And I have seen the world. I've seen the world over, not the world over, the West. And I've seen students come and fall, and a few have risen. The most fell. Why? They were not willing to be a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They thought they could do it with thinking. You can't. It's not possible. That's what Christianity demands. That which comes afterwards is, are you willing to be a lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Then he says you can open the book. And so the lamb came and took the book. And then, only then, we have the last tone of love, which is so beautiful. And the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. See, then they fell down. Then they gave up their false concepts, they're false arguments. And they sang a new song. And what was that song? Thou hast redeemed us to God, hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Can you see, we cannot become kings and priests unto God before we are not willing to let ourselves be slain for the Christ idea. Then only can come Christianity. Then we can be kings and priests unto God. Then Christianity wells up within us. We shall reign on the earth, and the numbers of angels was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. Can you see the Christianity sense? The universal sense. But the interesting thing is what I said before. You see, at the point of spirit in this order of Christianity, where the fourfold calculus was shown, the four beasts with six wings, the whole tone of recapitulation was shown, there too, at that point, it was said something similar. There too it was said, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that sat on the throne, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Sorry that I didn't say that at the right moment, but the point is, you see, as long as we are just praising the word of God, they were falling down and worshipped him that sat on the throne. That's the word, huh? That's God. God alone sits on the throne. As long as we are worshipping divine metaphysics, as I said, as the letter, and see them and say, this is wonderful, this is glorious, this is terrific, huh? We praise the Lord of God. We praise the Lord as the creator of all creation. It doesn't lead anywhere. It needs then, after that, what we have seen, the Lamb slain from the foundation, and only afterwards he sang a new song, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped then the Lamb, and no more God. You see? They fell down and worshipped down before the Lamb, and then they sang a new song. Then they got the spirit of it. It's a wonderful sequence when you look into it. It just shows, first you establish the letter of metaphysics through principle, mind, through principle the one, through mind the 24, through soul the seven, through the seven synonyms and the seven ideas, through spirit the fourfold calculus, and you fall down and say, isn't that a wonderful metaphysics? But the book is sealed. It hasn't yet life in it. And so the Lamb comes that is slain from the foundation of the world and says, I can open it. Then the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, before the Christ. They gave up their resistance to the Christ of not accepting the spirit of it. And then they sang a new song. Then we have Christianity. Isn't it terrific?